Good morning, church. Come on in, have a seat. It's good to see you this morning, first Sunday of our Advent season. I just want to, as we get started this morning, draw your attention to two kind of cards here. The first one, which we don't always remember to mention, but I want to talk about this morning, is this card that's in the pocket in front of you there. It's a great way for you to let us know if you're new here, if you're visiting, if you want to get some more information about the church. You can do that here, kind of check the right boxes and fill in your info. If you want to update us on your address or email, if any of that's changed, you can do it that way also. And then on the back side, we have a place for prayer requests. And we know people are always going through stuff. You got stuff going on, stuff that you'd like prayer for. You could take a minute to fill that out and drop it with somebody on your way out, or put it on your chair. We'll gather those. We pray for those. We'll add them to our prayer list if you want us to do that, our prayer chain. It seems like the holidays maybe bring around even more of those things. It's a difficult time sometimes. So don't forget to let us join with you in prayer in that way. And then the other one there is that card that's in your bulletin. It's two-sided. They're not the same. One is kind of the list of our five sermon topics here, working through the month of December up to Christmas, about how we can share the gift of Jesus with others. And so we hope you're planning to be with us for that. And then on the other side are the events we have going on for the month of December. So our kids program, our ambassadors event, women's and youth. It's also got some information there about Christmas Eve. So I do want to draw your attention to that. The last item on each side is about Christmas service, and we know that when Christmas falls on a Sunday, different churches handle that differently. We just want to let you know that we will be having a Christmas Eve service to sing carols that Saturday night, and then we will have church Christmas morning at 9:30 instead of 10:30, so a little different. We won't have Sunday school that day. We'll have a family service at 9:30 a.m. Christmas morning, and we hope you'll plan to be with us for that. Now I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward as we prepare to sing this morning.
Children can be dismissed and go to Sunday school, and we're going to have a time looking together at God's Word and considering what He has for us this Advent. Does it seem like it's already Advent? Does it seem like it should be? It seems like just last Thursday was Thanksgiving. And it's like, oh, it was. But the time, and I mean, this season of year can seem like things were, as things are coming and they're just kind of progressing along, it's easy to lose track of time. I've lost track of some time. My wife, Sherry, has been in Thailand since the last of October, and she comes back on Thursday. So I'm trying to make sure I keep that in mind so that I'm there at the airport to pick her up. My daughter Cassie, who's here with us, will help with that. So looking forward to that. Our granddaughter is doing well, about 3.5 weeks old now. And I hear that she's in like the 134th percentile of 3.5 week old kids. So they're doing well. So we're grateful to be here and to be with you. A couple weeks ago, we had some people on the stage from Salem for Refugees, and they brought a refugee choir, and they had we had Paul Lehman, who was speaking at the time, and there were some opportunities that were just put out there in terms of if you wanted to be involved with them. And one of the things they have is every Sunday at 1 o'clock, they have an international prayer meeting, and it meets in Salem. It's right around Salem Alliance Church. There may be like an annex or somewhere it meets. They serve a meal of rice and beans, and they have a time of praise and prayer. And so because next week I'll be just welcoming my wife back, and last week we had stuff going on, today I'm headed into the international prayer meeting. It starts at 1 o'clock. If you'd like to go, if you need a ride, you need to know where it is, you can see me afterwards. I'd be glad to have some company to go. And anyway, it's going to be one of the ways that we can get a little bit more involved in what God's doing through refugees that are just our neighbors here in the local area. We have some brochures on that, some other things, some ideas for life groups going ahead. So just if that jars or puts a little mental note or whatever else, see me afterward and say, hey, I'm interested in that international prayer meeting. It's not this Sunday only. They do it every Sunday at 1 o'clock. So you can take advantage of that. If you pull out your bulletin, there's some sermon notes inside that. And we're going to be talking some things this time of going through what it is as we consider how we can share the gift of Jesus with others, how we can bless others, what that looks like. If I was just to say a phrase, I just need like some recognition. Maybe just kind of like raise your hand or look at me or whatever. You don't have to come forward. But if I just say this phrase, it seems like people have dropped off my feed. You know what that means? Seems like people have dropped off my feed. Okay, let me do. So, the Facebook feed, right? And there's a certain number of people that have friends. I thought it was really fun when I first signed up for Facebook. I hadn't done anything, and it had a little thing on there that said, you have zero friends. And I was like, you know? But now, you know, you probably have several hundred friends, people that are on there. And Facebook, through their algorithms, they limit that so that you only see so many people. And pretty much for me, I'm seeing like maybe the same dozen people or so. I mean, if I get out to 20, that's a lot. People just drop off my feed. Instagram has the same kind of thing where they have an algorithm kind of thing, and they'll show you what you repeatedly go to see. As we talk about sharing the gift of Jesus with other people, one of the questions that comes to mind, to me and to my mind, is why aren't I more engaged with other people trying to share with them the gift of Christ? Why does it seem like an uphill battle for me? Why does it seem like if somebody were to say, there's two things you could say, well, Tom, how's your prayer life? And I would say, well, it could be better. And if they would say, how's your evangelism? How's your sharing Christ with people? I would say, could be better. Now, in that mix, for me, what happens is there, especially being a pastor, there comes some stuff where it's kind of like, almost kind of a guilt kind of a thing, where I think, you know, it really shouldn't be out of guilt. I should really just love people. And I should love them enough that I don't want them to go to hell, and so I want to share Christ with them so they don't have a Christless eternity. And I think, you know, I think that I know people about that. I know some people that I'd like to do that with. And then what happens is I get busy. I get busy with Thanksgiving, I get busy with Christmas stuff, I get even busy preparing sermons, going through stuff. And I thought, you know, what I would like is I would like to have something in my normal framework of life, something that is my normal routine that I do all the time, that could actually build some intentionality into trying to remember to let God use me to share the gift of His love with other people. And I've heard different things. I've heard different methods. There's different evangelism things. Some of you have heard of the four spiritual laws. Some of you could even remember what the four spiritual laws were. There's a little book we have, a little track called Who Will Be King? A great presentation of that. Billy Graham had one years ago, Steps to Peace with God. It's seemingly no limit to the numbers of ways that are tracks or ways to explain how somebody can be saved. There's lots and lots and lots of them. So the problem is not kind of in that method. The problem is not in what God has set up for sharing His gift with other people. The problem actually seems to be I'm a very busy and distracted person who has a hard time adding intentionality in one other thing to my life. And so I go through life, and there's people that I see and people that I meet, and I'm just not prepared. I'm just not ready. I'm just not eager. I'm not looking for God to do something. I'm just kind of thinking, oh, shoot. That would have been a great opportunity to say something to somebody. So there's a book, and it's on the back of your thing. It's called Bless, and it says, has a top thing. It says, what if you could change the world without changing your daily routine? I'm like, yeah, I'm all about that. I have a hard time with routine, you know, being more of a random abstract than a concrete sequential kind of guy. But if I could change the world without changing my routine, if it could actually be put up in some way that we could do this, I think that'd be great. And so this book called Bless has these five practices. And they're practices that, as I see it, they are just going to raise the level of intentionality for me to both consider the gift that I've been given in Jesus Christ and then how to share that with other people. So I'm excited about it. The first, each of the letters in this word bless are an acronym. And so the first one is what we're going to look at today. And so we're going to then pick one of these every Sunday through Advent, and we'll even do one on Christmas morning, share the story. And as we go through this, this is not like a one and done. This is like a long-term working something that you want to have anyway into your routine in there so that you can do it routinely. So we're going to look at some blessings. First thing is that God blessed His creation. In Genesis 1:22, it said God blessed His creation. Now here's what I did. I was going through my concordance and I was looking up the word blessing. And I said, oh, cool, Genesis 1:22, God blessed, you know, and I wrote in Adam and Eve. Well, He does bless Adam and Eve, but He doesn't bless them until verse 28. In verse 22, He blesses the creation. All the animals that He's made, He blesses them and says, be fruitful and multiply. He empowers them to do what He's created them to do. And then He says the exact same phrase in verse Genesis 1:28 when He blesses Adam and Eve. And He tells them, be fruitful and multiply. And they are to fill the earth and to subdue it. God has empowered His people. When He speaks a blessing, it's to empower His people to do what He has created them to do. In Genesis chapter 12, there's the story of the blessing of Abraham. And God picks one man, and through his family, says that He's going to spread this blessing throughout the whole world. Listen how many times in these just two verses, Genesis 12, 2 and 3, that the Lord uses the word blessing. He says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. When God decides that He's going to do a work in the earth in order to spread His blessing, He begins with one man and his obedience and his family, and He says, that's all I need. I just really need one guy who and his family are going to obey me and are going to be related to me by faith, and I'm going to spread the blessing from Abraham through the whole world. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through his offspring. In Psalms, there's many, many times where we read this word, blessed. We're told in Psalm 2:12, blessed are those who take refuge in God. Those are blessed whose sin is forgiven. In Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33, 12. Blessed is the one who has regard for the weak. Psalm 41, 1. Blessed is the one whose strength is in God. Psalm 84, 5. And even blessed is the one whom God disciplines. Now, if you were to go through that list and say, you know what, maybe I'm not in that list, maybe I don't find myself, Jesus, when He comes and He speaks, we just went through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Jesus, He blesses. He says, blessed are the poor, the mournful, the meek, the hungry, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. When Peter speaks, after Peter and John have healed a man, a cripple outside the temple. And Peter is explaining to his audience what's going on. In verse 24 of Acts 3, we read, "Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days, the days of Christ." And he says to that Jewish audience, "You are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers." And then he goes back to Genesis 12. He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, when God sent Jesus as the prophet, when God sent Jesus, as we're looking at Advent now, he sent him first to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. God blesses the Jews in the family of Abraham, the man of faith, as they share in his faith. Well, the Gentiles in Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, Paul says, "Consider Abraham, he believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham." The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. In other words, God had this plan where you didn't have to become a convert to Judaism and to follow Jewish laws and regulations and to be a disciple of Moses in order to be a disciple of Jesus. God foresaw that by faith you could be a disciple of Jesus Christ and the blessings of Abraham come to us. He announced the gospel in advance to Abraham when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. In Ezekiel 34:26, there'll be showers of blessings. That's where that phrase comes. You know that song? It was, "There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above." And then it just went, showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops. In other words, we see little glimpses of God's mercy all around us. But we're really asking for, pleading for those showers of blessing. Ezekiel 34, we're to be poured out. Those blessings will be poured out. In Revelation 22, so we've gone from Genesis to Revelation, it says, "Blessed are the ones who keep the prophecy of the book." There are songs that we sing. "Count your many blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." Maybe at Thanksgiving, maybe you did that. Maybe you sat around the table and you said, "Let's just go around and say something that we're thankful for." And that song just says, "Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done." Another verse in that hymn says, "So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end." This idea of we are a blessed people. If you have received the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, you have appropriated the blessings that come to us by faith, having the same faith as Abraham, who believed God, who was credited righteousness. That's your blessing. I was at a small church in California, and it was in a little place called Tribuco Canyon, and it was a time in my life where I'd ridden a motorcycle from Fort Wayne, Indiana to Southern Cal and lived out there for 4 months. And in that little church, they had a testimony time on Sunday night. And they would say, I mean, there was only maybe 30 people there. They would say, "Does anybody have something that they would like to stand and just have a word of testimony to give to God?" And you would just sit and think, okay, what has God done? What could I say? What would be a really good one to say? Because there's lots of little things. And while everybody was trying to think, there was this one lady named Grandma Stripe. That was her last name, Stripe. And she would stand up every Sunday night at testimony time, and she would say, I just want to thank the Lord that He saved me. And she'd sit down. And you're like, well, great. Now what's anybody else going to say? You know, I'm glad that I had a good meal yesterday or whatever. But Grandma Stripe just stood up no matter when and where, and she just said, I'm just thankful God saved me. You see, she had an understanding that whatever other blessing she had in life stemmed from that fact that she knew who her Savior was and that He was committed to her and she'd committed her life to Him. There was an old song, it's not in our hymnal, and it was just called Make Me a Blessing. It had these words, out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, meaning there's lots of darkness, but making the sorrowing glad. The chorus was, make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. That's just a great phrase. I mean, that belongs on somebody's feed, right? That belongs on somebody's like Instagram or Facebook, or maybe you could do a video. I heard one old guy and he was saying, you know what? He goes, I've seen some of those TikTok videos. And you thought, okay, I remember TikToks. He mean TikTok, but anyway. But to be a blessing to others. A couple of other verses of that hymn. Tell the sweet story of Christ and His love. Tell of His power to forgive. Others will trust Him if only you prove true every moment you live. Give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. And then the chorus again. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. We even sing a song here, and it's a song that we sing often, and it's one that the musicians, Tracy at the piano and Zach up here today, and I'm so grateful for you guys, but you often play this. It's that little thank you song, and that's got that phrase in it. Your blessings are forevermore. You are so good to me. Now, when we understand that we are a blessed people, when we understand that having a relationship with God, never mind the fact of all your other blessings that you could count and could name, then we understand that all who are in Jesus Christ are to be a blessing. All. I mean, that's the littlest child to the oldest saint. You have been blessed to be a blessing to others. We're not to be reservoirs. That's in your notes. It's going to be really hard to spell, you know? So you can maybe put like ponds or pockets or buckets or something, okay? We're not just a reservoir, but we're to be a river. So Jesus says in John 7, He says, whoever believes in me, as this scripture has said, out of his life will flow rivers of living water. Now, I used to always think that we're a living water. That was what refreshes me. I would know God said, He saved me, and I am so refreshed. I am just so blessed. You know, it's so special that I have living water in me. But the verse says, out of His innermost being will flow rivers of living water. In other words, there's something when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit regenerates you and makes you new, that then out of your life flows a blessing to other people. At my father's funeral, he passed away just back in the 1st of October, and he asked my daughters if they had something they wanted to share or something we could read, and then I said if they couldn't read it, I would. Well, that was a mistake, so I'm standing up reading it, and I'm kind of like, but one of my daughters, Clarissa, who's in China, one of the things that she's shared with Dad, or had me read at the funeral, was She said, of him, you never forgot that you had a gift to be shared. The gifts that we've been given, the blessings that we've received, as cool as they are to us, as wonderful as it is to have answered prayer, to sing God's praise, to know the fellowship of the Spirit, to be with other Christians, even one other Christian would be great to have as a friend. But to have multiple people in your life who know Jesus, it's a gift to be shared. It was never meant just so that we would come and just be so blessed and so much and think, oh, it's great to be a Christian. It is. And other people need to know and hear and experience that. Now, if we are to share that blessing with others, and we're to do it in such a way that they benefit by it, and if this acronym BLESS is going to be some of the ways that into our routine we can develop some habits of just routinely blessing others, that little acronym BLESS is going to be helpful to us. So the first B of this series is begin with prayer. And whether it's praying for family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, whoever, you have to get on a first name basis with your neighbors. Now, I know my neighbors, but you know how I know some of them? The color of their house. They live down there in a yellow house, you know, or they live over here in the greenhouse, or, you know, the blue house, or whatever. You kind of know where they're at, and I can describe them, and you just say, who lives there? Well, it's these two ladies. I think they're in a relationship. I don't know. I haven't talked with them. And then they're the ones who put up the Christmas lights on the fence. And one of them walks a dog. I can describe so many things about them, except what? Their name. And so every once in a while, Sherry can help me, and she'll say, oh, yeah, that's her name. And then, you know, just to get back at her own, say, and what about the people who live across the street? You know, because I'm trying to find somebody she doesn't know the name, so I feel better that I don't know any names. Some of them I know. I know Vicky. You know, I know some different ones. I know Richard and Tammy. They go here. They live across the street this way, you know. And then maybe it's somebody that my daughter went to school with years ago. And so it's Chelsea's mom. What's her name, Tom? I don't know. I just know she's Chelsea's mom. How long has it been since Kayla was in school? 5 years? How long have you lived there? 8 years? If I don't know their name, I'm probably not praying for them by name, because it's just a little bit odd to go through and say Chelsea's mom all the time. Now, to do that, there may be people that you're in relationships with that aren't your neighbors. Maybe you go to a gym. And maybe you go to the gym at the same time, every same day of the week, same time, and you know people there. And you think, okay, well, this is who I am, or it's who I walk with, or it's who I see at the dog park, or it's who I garden with, or maybe it's your kids from school, and maybe it's people that are in a class. But there's people that you already know in your routine, and you already know their names. You don't even have to do a lot of research. You just have to say, what would I like to do to bless these people? And so there's several prayers. Now, sometimes we're in the habit of filling in blanks on our sermon notes, and there's blanks all through this, but that's so where you could write the name of a friend, coworker, neighbor, family member, what you'd like to pray this for. I'm just going to give you 5 suggestions about ways that you can pray to bless others. The first one is where Jesus says, in John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So there's a prayer. It's a simple prayer. You can use this if you want to say this bold. Dear God, please give, and that's where you write in their name, a deep desire that is a hunger and a thirst for who Jesus is and what he offers. Wouldn't it be cool? Isn't there somebody in your life that if they just came up to you and said, you know, Tom, I've been thinking. I think there's really something missing in my life that I can't find satisfied anywhere. I'd be like, what? Would you say that again? Yeah. I've been searching and I have some needs in my life that I can't find satisfied anywhere. I would go, wow, that is so cool. I mean, how did you ever come to that point? In fact, you know, I could just fill in name Dan. I have been praying that God would give you a deep desire for Jesus and what he offers. Jesus says he's able to satisfy desire so much that he puts it in the most basic of needs, like hunger and thirst. And he says that when he satisfies, you'll never be hungry or you'll never thirst. What a great way to bless somebody. It's God, just create in them this deep hunger. Here's another one. Dear Father, would you draw, and you just put that person's name in there, whoever they are, to Jesus. And that would be an amazing blessing. Jesus says in John 6:44, he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And I'll raise them up at the last day. So he says, when the Father draws people and they come to Christ, he goes, there's like guaranteed resurrection through faith in Jesus. But it starts with the Father drawing them. So there's somebody in my life that I could pray for by name on a regular basis, just as part of my routine. And I say, Father, would you draw this person to you? Would you just work in their life ahead of time without me saying anything? All I'm doing right now is I'm just praying for them that God would do that. Here's another prayer. These are all right out of Scripture. Dear God, would you please work in their life so that they would come to Jesus, who is the light of the world? Jesus says in John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Can you think of somebody in your family, your friends, your coworkers, your classmates, somebody you work with, who's walking in darkness? You're saying, man, they just don't know. They may be discouraged, maybe they're depressed all the time, maybe, you know, maybe it's something that they have just struggled and struggled and struggled with and they can't find their way through. And you're saying, man, it just seems like life is so dark for that person. And so you just start praying for him and you say, God, would you please bring him to you to see you as the light? And just routinely, you mentioned their name. There's only two more. There's lots more in Scripture, and you can find these for yourself. But these are just five that have been just for us to look at today. Dear God, please unblind so-and-so's eyes to recognize, that is, to see Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. Do you know why people that don't know Jesus don't get it? Do you know why? It says right here in this verse. The God of this age, in other words, the things that consume people all around us, the things that would consume you if you didn't know Jesus. Just the daily from point A to point B, getting the kids to school, dealing with aging parents, helping pay for college bills, having a newborn, working a job, All of that stuff that anybody has who's a Christian, non-Christians have the same stuff. But they don't have anything beyond that stuff. They don't have anything else that can say, you know what? I've heard about Jesus all my life. And all of a sudden, I get it. I say, how do you get it? I say, I don't know. I just heard it time and time and time again, and finally it made sense. You say, well, how did it make sense? He said, I don't know, it's like I had scales on my eye and they just fell off. It's like once I was blind, now I can see. Well, how are you blind? I don't know. I just never saw it. Paul says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ. Now, if you get it, if you have been blessed, you don't go around to people that are blind and start kicking the cane out from under them. You know, you don't go along and kind of feed their guide dog so he runs off. You know, you don't curse them or make fun of them or anything. You just realize they can't see. They can't recognize Jesus. And so you pray for them that God would unblind their eyes to see. The last one, there's two verses here. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict them of sin and convince them of truth. Now, one of the cool things about this whole blessing thing is it's not your job and my job to convict people of sin. Sometimes we got to get over that. Sometimes we see people who are trapped in a sin or whatever else, and we think, somebody's got to point that out to him. It might as well be me. You know, it's like a time for an intervention team of one. And you just think about and think about and think about. You think, I've got to tell them. They're doing stuff wrong. Their life is tubing out. They're not going the right way. They're trapped in sin. This verse says, when he comes, that is the Holy Spirit. He, that is the Holy Spirit. That means he's got a job and you've got a job. Your job is not to convict people of sin. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. We already heard why people don't believe. Their minds are blinded. They've never come to the light. They're walking in darkness. But he'll do it. Convict of sin, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. Jesus says, I've done everything that the Father gave me to do. I've done it all right now. I'm going back. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. When I get to pray for somebody to bless them, I don't have to be praying, dear God, please show me how to tell this person they're sinning. I just have to say, dear Holy Spirit, please do your work and let this person know that they're sinning. And the second part of that is to convince of the truth. And so Paul says, in 1 Thessalonians, he says, you know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he's chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. When I speak to somebody, if they're about anything regarding Christ or Christianity or salvation or whatever, if the Holy Spirit isn't in it, it's just kind of like that little soundtrack for one of those Charlie Brown Christmas tree movies where all they hear is wah, 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 wah. You know, it's just words. But when Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, he goes, this is how we know that you've really been saved, because it did not just sound like a bunch of words. It actually came with power, because the Holy Spirit brought some deep conviction into their life. And Paul closes and says, you know how we lived among you for your sakes. In other words, you could look at our lives. You know who we were. You heard what we were saying, but what made a change was the Holy Spirit came and did something beyond what we could do. Now, in our routines, if I'm going to like try to adapt or apply or gain something out of this. But one thing I want you to start with is, like, I am so blessed of what God has done for me. He's given me a gift to share. What I can do in blessing others is I can just start praying for people. Prayers like this. Now, in your notes, this is an old style bulletin. You may remember we did one of these, okay, before, but it's got a little tear off. And that tear off is there so that you can actually tear it off and you can do something with it. You can take it. And so what we're going to suggest is that you spend some time thinking about people who you already have a relationship, people that are already in your life. Think about people who you already know their first name. Now, sometimes you could be working out in a gym next to a person and you never ask their name. You just know them as, like, hey, dude, you know, they're the guy on that machine. And you say hi and go, you might have to ask them their name. But it's somebody that already you're in a relationship with. And then you write down their names on the blanks. And the blanks suggest that there's 3 to 5 people. Maybe they live near you, you know, from work, attend school, maybe it's an activity, whatever. So it says 3 to 5, there's like 6 blanks. You can have a list of 12. But if you have a list of 3 to 5, that smaller list is probably going to be more manageable for you to do the prayer. So when you write down their names on the blanks, and you can tear it off, and you can put it in your Bible, you can put it on your dashboard, you can put it on your desk at work, because it's not, I'm convinced, it's not that believers don't love the lost. It's not that we want people to go to hell. We want people to go to heaven. We want to share Christ with them, but we're just so dang busy and distracted that we forget. We go day to day to day to week to week to week, and we think, oh, I really should know, pray for whatever. Now, this is one of the keys to this, is if you can share with somebody else. Now, some of you I know, and some of us as elders on the elder team, we've worked really hard over the years at knowing who God has put in another elder's life that they're praying for. I still forget from time to time, but I've got a couple of them locked away in here because somebody has shared, I'm praying for so-and-so. I say, oh, good. I'll pray for them too. So you can write them, their names on that list. You can start praying for them as a way to bless them. The best thing you could do is share it with somebody else and just say, would you pray for my friend too? I'm praying for my friend from work. I'm praying for my friend at school. I'm praying that God would bless them. And I'm praying that God would open their eyes and just be great. They'd be drawn to the Father. They have a deep desire. I'm just going to pray for them. The other way that you can do that is we have a group that meets on Thursday nights for prayer. And they meet every Thursday night from 7 to 8. And they meet just in that room back there. They are committed to praying for the people that you would share your names with. Now, you may not want to, if you're sharing it with somebody else, you may not want to put first and last name or phone number or text message. And we're not going to contact people. That's not the point. It could just be first name and maybe the first initial of their last name. But they will have a basket of the names of people in our church that you're praying for, that God would do those things. And they'll pray for them on Thursday night. So at least that, if not a friend and whatever. So where does that leave us? It leaves us at the point of saying, to bless other people, I have to, one, realize the blessings I've received. They're not mine to keep. They're mine. It's a gift to be shared. And then to be intentional and say, God, I'm going to start praying for people like this. I'm going to tell you, it'll be a stretch for me because when I pray for people that are lost, I just rattle off the names. There was some people that I knew my dad was praying for. I used to pray for Andy and Norm. I never prayed that God would open their eyes, draw them to himself, turn them from darkness to light, and the Holy Spirit to convict them of sin. It was just easier to say, God, please save Andy and Norm. So it'll be a stretch to say, in intentionally seeking to share the blessings that God's given me, I'm going to have to at least take a minute, 2 minutes, to go through a thing and just pray. Now, the other thing is going to happen. That book that we have is listed on the back of the thing. You can get the book. It's a great book. We're going to go next week. We're going to look at another one in that acronym. It takes time. It takes time. Some of you have been praying for a spouse to come to the Lord, or a child, friend, relative, for years. One of the things I appreciate in the book is they say, after 2 years of praying for somebody in my apartment complex, we had a conversation with him over coffee. I'm thinking, 2 years before you ever had a spiritual conversation? Because God's timetable is not our timetable, and what God wants to do to bless people, He's going to bless, but He's going to use our prayers to do part of that. So I'm going to close this in prayer, and we'll be dismissed with the words of the grace. And I hope you're encouraged at the many blessings God has given you, and I hope you have one more way in your regular routine to share those blessings with others. Let's pray. Father, you know my shortcomings, my failures in this area. You know people that I say that I love, and it's either hard or just it just doesn't happen that I don't pray for them on a regular basis, that you would bless them as you have blessed me. All of those things, Jesus, that I would pray for them, you've done in my life. You convict of sin, you've opened my eyes, you've unblinded them, you've drawn me to the light, you've given me a hunger and thirst for you. I just want, Jesus, what you've given to me, I want others to know that. I pray, Lord, that you will encourage us in this, your manifold blessings, and even this week, do some things in us and through us to share those gifts with others. We pray in your name. Amen. We're going to stand. And in closing, we're going to sing a cappella, O Holy Night. No. It is Christmas carol season, so you'll hear them in the prelude, you'll hear them in the worship time. Remember Christmas Eve, a carol service, Christmas Eve here, and Christmas Day. I think it'll be great. We're going to go through sharing some more stories. I'm going to close you and dismiss you with the words of the grace. They go like this. These are all blessings that I've received that I want to share with you and others. That's why it's a benediction. It's a good word for y'all. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless.